Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just take turns introducing yourselves. I guess, Gina, start.
Yes, hi, my name is Gina Kufari. I am one of the bassoonists in the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. I'm also one of the artistic directors.
Yes, and Lewis, what is your name and title with the show?
Lewis Hanslick, trumpeter with Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, and also one of the artistic directors.
Awesome. And we're talking because the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra is going to, on May 4th, you're going to premiere, a world premiere, actually, of Danny Elfman's Suite for Chamber Orchestra, presented and commissioned by the Library of Congress. Where to start out, where exactly is it going to be held?
So, yes, it's going to be held at actually an alternate venue. Usually we perform right in the Library of Congress. But we're going to be at St. Mark's Episcopal Church, and we can get you an address if you'd like the address, but it's very, very close to the building.
Yeah, it's sort of like if you look at the Capitol building and the Library of Congress is sort of behind that, it's a little bit further even behind the church. It's like just like a block or two away, if I remember, on Capitol Hill. But this is really exciting. So tell me about Danny Elfman's Suite for Chamber Orchestra. We know a lot of, you know, we know the name from the movies, but he also, you know, is doing this awesome stuff too. So what exactly musically do we hear? You know, what sort of instruments, you know, someone, I don't know if which one of you wants to take it, but, you know, break down what we hear musically in this piece.
Yeah, so this is a brand new piece, as you said. We are going to be premiering it on May 4th. So we actually have not even started rehearsals yet.
Okay.
So what we have is a score, and we have all of our parts, and we actually have kind of a mock-up audio of the piece. So he sent us a MIDI file version of the piece. So we kind of get an idea of what it's going to sound like. Of course, it'll come beautifully to life when we actually sit down and play with the real instruments. But it's scored for strings, so violins, violas, cellos, basses, and one of each woodwind. So we've got a flute, a clarinet, an oboe, a bassoon, and we've got a few brass instruments. We've got a trumpet, a French horn, we've got percussion, and piano. And the piece is in four movements. And I have to say, you know, just looking at the score and playing through my part and listening to the MIDI, it's very typical Elfman writing, which again, to me, means, you know, when I hear Danny Elfman, I think Edward Scissorhands, I think Pee Wee's Big Adventure, The Simpsons, you know, kind of that
Batman,
Batman, right. Kind of that zany, quirky, busy, fun, cartoony music. But like you said, you know, Batman and a lot of his other film music really shows a wide range of what he can do, you know, and the kind of colors and melodies and textures that he can create. So what I think is really interesting about this piece is that you've got both of those worlds. You've got a little bit of The Simpsons in there, but you've also got some really beautiful rhapsodic writing similar to Batman. So I think it's going to be really, really exciting to put together.
And Lewis, anything you want to add about the actual, I mean, I know it's a MIDI file, but what your take on the actual, you know, instrumentation of the piece, like what makes you excited for your trumpet?
Trumpet player. Yeah. And maybe I'll speak from that perspective, because a lot of scoring from composers, especially within the orchestra setting, sort of sets the brass as more of like the doom and gloom, the sustain, maybe the heroic passages of the score. But Elfman actually, in the trumpet parts and the horn parts, I've noticed with this particular piece, really writes very, very playful brass parts. You know, they're very involved, they're very alive, they're very, you know, lots of notes, not necessarily just like playing fanfares. So I really appreciate the spin that he's put on the brass writing to make us more of an intricate part of not only the string parts, but certainly the woodwind parts. So they're not what you typically expect to hear from brass players. So it's a cool feature of this piece.
Awesome. Awesome. Sounds cool. Could either of you speak, do you know anything about the actual Library of Congress commissioning Elfman? When our listeners hear that, does that mean that the Library of Congress is actually funded or paid Elfman to put this together? Or how does something like that even work?
Yeah, that's correct. So the Library of Congress is actually one of three commissioners. So the Library of Congress, the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, and the National Symphony Orchestra of Ireland. It was these three organizations that came together and commissioned him together. So Orpheus will be performing the piece, as I said, for the first time. We'll be premiering it, and then those other ensembles will be playing the piece. Actually, I don't have the dates, but soon thereafter.
Okay, cool. But this will be the first time anyone anywhere in the world will hear this. So that's really, really cool. And
Yeah,
it's going to
it
be in an intimate church setting too. So, well, not too intimate. It's a bigger church, but you know what I mean? It's not like a big stadium or something. It's a
is.
really
Right.
cool opportunity. Well, tell me about the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra in general, like a little background on that, you know. I don't know who wants to take that, but you know, how long has it been around, and you know, who does it make who makes up the orchestra, I guess.
How about I'll pick this one up? So it's interesting you ask because this year is actually the 50th anniversary of the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, which is monumental for any organization, right? The orchestra has been around for that long. And one thing I'll say about it, just for listeners, is Orpheus is a unique organization. When it was founded by a group of chamber musicians who were interested in playing chamber music, such as string quartets, within a larger orchestral setting, which means that the players actually lead rehearsals. The players themselves lead performances, and not a designate conductor, which you might experience when you go to a typical traditional orchestra concert. So Orpheus performs without a conductor and has done so since its founding in 1950. And that's one of the more unique aspects of this particular orchestra. And
So
we're
how do you
very
sort of stay on track without a conductor? A lot of our listeners will find that interesting. You said the players lead it. So how exactly do they lead? Are you playing your trumpet and conduct? I'm just kidding. But how does it work?
Well, one thing that's critical to making it work, there are a few things, and there is a little bit of motion as you sort of, we have listeners here, but if you were to motion, there is a little bit of cueing that comes from players, right? A little bit of movement. You have to move together. You have to sort of be visually aware of what your colleagues are doing and not just listening with your ears and staring at your own part. You have to be sort of out in the space of the larger orchestra. And the other thing that's really critical to making it work is that's not typical of a lot of orchestral situations is you have to be familiar with more than your own individual part. You have to be familiar with the music and the score, the broader texture of all the parts combined and how they fit together, very much like a puzzle, because no one is in front of you to show you when to play. You have to
Right.
understand how the music ebbs and flows between your part and your stand partner, or even across the ensemble. And that's critical to make Orpheus work.
Awesome,
Yeah.
awesome. Well,
And
happy 50th anniversary, by the way. Yeah.
thank
Did you want to
you.
add something?
I was just gonna say another thing that is really interesting about our group is that, yeah, because we don't have a conductor, the conductor usually has a few roles, right? The cue, they, you know, show everybody when to come in, when to stop, when to start. So we have to do that on our own. But then there's the interpretive part of music making too. You know, usually a conductor will be the one to decide how to perform a piece. But that all of those decisions come from us as well. So it's such an interesting and beautiful way of making music because it's truly collaborative. Truly, all of our voices in the ensemble are heard, and our voices really have a lot of meaning when it comes to the performance because it's truly our interpretation of a work when we perform.
Nice. And how many, just to clarify, how many members of the orchestra are there in Orpheus? Like, how many will be on stage performing?
Probably close to 30.
And is Orpheus based out of New York City, or is there any DC tie too?
We're based out of New York City, but we do come and perform in DC occasionally. We've been to the Library of Congress several times.
Cool.
Remember the last time, I think 2017 or 18, we were there as well. But yeah, we are a traveling touring ensemble. So we tour throughout the country, we tour throughout Asia and Europe. We have music, we'll travel.
Nice, but that's the slogan. Put the bumper sticker on the poster. Great, great. Now, do we know if Danny Elfman is actually going to attend, since it's the world premiere? Like, you would think he'd want to be there to watch this amazing first time performance. But do we know if is he going to come?
He will be there.
All right. That is awesome. Well, are you excited to actually meet him, interact with him, perform? Nervous to perform in front of him? You know, what's it going to be like to be with in the room with a legend, performing his own stuff?
Well, it's always, you know, we collaborate so often with composers. You know, bringing new works to life is really what we do, in addition to recreating some of the old masterworks in a way. But so it's always a really exciting experience to perform music in front of composers. And I think even Elfman will be at some rehearsals too. So that'll be our, you know, it's always a dialogue. And I think that's one of the cool things about it, where the composer is hearing the music come to life for the first time with live instruments. They're learning, right, as much as we're learning. And I think that's one of the great parts about working with living composers like a Danny Elfman, is that it's kind of a reciprocal relationship. And so we're always excited, and we'll be especially by Danny Elfman, to write for a chamber orchestra, which, you know, isn't done so often in his history, right?
Cool. Yeah. And how does that actually, I mentioned the commission, but do you think he, I mean, I don't know if you know, even know, but like, did Danny Elfman contact the Library of Congress and the other, you know, the three organizations that are commissioning this? Was it in that direction, saying, hey, I would like to write this? Or did they seek him out? Or do you know which direction does that typically work?
I'm not sure. It you know, either can happen in a situation like this. I'm not sure which way it happened. Although, I mean, it's interesting. Danny has obviously been writing concert works for a while now. But in 2022, just last year, I was just looking this up, he had three new works premiered. So I think it sounds to me like he's really interested in continuing to write for the concert stage, for classical ensembles. And this is just one more piece kind of on this trend right now.
Cool. Yeah, I hope he keeps doing it. It's gonna be exciting to see the creativity that comes out of it. We talked a lot about like the instruments and stuff involved. You gave me some good sound bites on that in terms of this actual new piece. What about in terms of, is there like a narrative to it, or at least like a tone or a mood? Like, can we speak sort of like the story that we hear in the, you know, if there's anything that kind of we can chart in this?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting you say that. Again, just by listening to the little audio clips that we have, yeah. It's to me, even the first movement, just listening to the first movement alone, does tell a story. You know, and I feel like whenever you hear his music, there's always a visual going on. So there is a very clear storyline, right? But I think his music is so wonderful because you can take that visual away and still know what's going on, right? There's always that narrative in his music. And I want to mention, you know, one of his, I think he has so many different influences over his career, but one in particular he cites as being one of his major influences, the American composer Bernard Herrmann.
Oh my God. You might be talking about one of my favorites, like every Hitchcock masterpiece ever.
Exactly. And I found this great quote. You know, he said, Herrmann's always said, you know, if a film score can't stand on its own two feet without the visual, then it's not true film scoring music. So I feel like Elfman is, you know, this is his music exemplifies that, right? Like anytime you hear his music with or without the visuals, you can imagine the story.
Oh, thank you so much for shouting out Bernard Herrmann. I mean, when your career literally starts with Citizen Kane and ends with Taxi Driver, and you have Vertigo and Psycho and all these in between, and Cape Fear, I mean, it's incredible. Even some sci-fi stuff, right? Didn't he do like Day the Earth Stood Still and all that stuff? I mean, it's really incredible stuff. But you're right, like you could listen to Vertigo and hear the story on its own, even if you aren't watching it. And so that's such a great astute point. Well, in terms of Elfman, do you you know, if Herrmann was to Hitchcock, Elfman was always to Burton, Tim Burton, I guess. So do either of you, let's end on a fun note. Do either of you have a favorite Elfman score, you know, Tim Burton or otherwise? Let's start with Gina. I mean, you mentioned a bunch of them, but if you had to pick one, what would be your favorite?
I think it would actually be The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Right.
gosh, when I was a kid, I just loved that soundtrack. I loved the movie. I have a 12-year-old daughter now, and for the past several Halloweens, or I should say October through December's.
Right, it covers the whole holidays.
Right. We make a point to watch that movie. And I don't know, there's something about the music that just always thrills me and grips me. And his voice, as the singing voice of Jack Skelton, I just, it's so haunting and beautiful, sticks with me.
Right. A lot of people remember him as the composer. A lot of people forget that he is Jack and Catherine O'Hara is Sally. You know, the Jack and Sally is just an iconic duo. All right. So Nightmare Before Christmas is Gina's favorite. Lewis, do you happen to have a favorite? Or is it too hard to pick?
How about Batman?
I'm Batman. Nice Michael Keaton. Mike, watch out, Michael Keaton. You got competition.
That's right.
What about that score? All right, what about it?
Okay, off the top of my head, and I have to think back, but you know, he captures the heroicism and the darkness of what is the Batman character, you know. It's just all there, and I can just, you know, the music matches so beautifully, just the scene and just the image of what we think of as the character of Batman.
I think I might be with you. I don't know. That's hard to pick between. I think you two pick probably the two best. I mean, I don't know. Edward Scissorhands is great and Big Fish. And then even the non-Tim Burton stuff, like you said, Simpsons. And then what else did he do? Spider-Man for Sam Raimi and Goodwill Hunting and Men in Black. Which ones am I forgetting? There's so many.
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Well, yeah, that was a Tim Burton one.
Oh, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, that was a Tim Burton as well. Man, it's just, yeah, it's incredible, the guy's work. But everybody, come check out the new, if you like all of those and want to see what he's up to next, check out the world premiere of, what are we calling it? Danny Elfman's Suite for Chamber Orchestra. It's going to be performed by the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra on May 4th, 8 p.m. at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in D.C. Thank you so much. This was great.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.